You're listening to an edited version of the live Voices of Montana statewide radio program. Find us on Facebook and subscribe for further podcasts wherever you get your audio on demand. I'm Tom Schultz, host of the program. Thanks for joining us, and please feel free to contact me at studio@voicesofmontana.com.
You know, I grew up as a middle child. I caught a lot of the blame. Why is it the middleman who is always to blame? Well, not always to blame, but when you look at supply chains, especially this prescription drug supply chain, the middleman, how much of their job is necessary? What is the middleman in this prescription drug supply chain? We're going to talk about that today. Montana Commissioner of Securities and Insurance Troy Downing is with us here. A bit later on, too, Senator Steve Daines made a quick stop in this morning to detail his next stops, and that is the Keystone XL pipeline for a conversation about our energy future. Good stuff here today on Voices of Montana.
It's time for the fastest hour in radio. From Montana for Montana, Voices of Montana with Tom Schultz. Woo. Call in today at 866-627-5483 or text a comment or question to 781-627-5483. Now, on a manatee appreciation day, he's appreciating them. It's Tom Schultz.
I love my manatees.
They're so cute.
Love me some manatees.
It's like dolphins. They're cute but deadly.
Yeah. I mean, how could you not like a manatee except when they're deadly?
Yes.
Yeah. Thank you. All right, Josh. Appreciate that. It is, what is it, 2 decades strong? Working on 3. Voices of Montana and objective perspective here. And I can't believe it. I'm going to actually talk to Troy Downing because we've had him on. He's our Montana Commissioner of Securities and Insurance. He also puts on another hat. That's Montana's state auditor, a veteran, a businessman, a tech guy as well. Every time, Troy, that we've had you on, I have been out for some reason or another. So it's been a while. How you been, sir?
Hey, we're actually going really well. A lot of good work happening here, and we just hit the ground running, and I think we're doing a lot of very positive things for the people of Montana, and I'm proud to be part of this team.
Yeah, you know, I'm going to agree with that because there's a lot of stuff coming out of this auditor's office or the securities and insurance office, especially as the legislature has really kicked into gear, and you had to hit the ground running, didn't you?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, I spent my time campaigning, asking questions and listening and understanding, you know, what was happening in industry and coming up with solutions for that. So we have, you know, we have bills out there, you know, solving those kinds of problems. You know, we had a lot of success with our telemedicine bill that I'm very proud of. Got all the stakeholders together. And then the most recent one, as you mentioned, is, you know, we're seeing just this, you know, skyrocketing costs in prescription drugs, and that's affecting premium prices and healthcare plans. And I think we have a good solution on starting to solve that problem.
Senate Bill 395. Now, you testified, I think it was a hearing earlier this week, if not Monday, then yesterday. I guess we're only midweek here. But let's talk about the issue and the problem of drug prices and this one solution.
Yeah, well, the hearing was yesterday, and Senator Hertz is carrying this bill for us, and we're really happy to have him. But here's the problem: a lot of people don't understand, you know, all the directions that a drug in the supply chain, from the manufacturer to your local pharmacy, you know, what happens, who has their, you know, fingers on that, from, you know, goes from the manufacturer to possibly a wholesaler to a, you know, purchasing organization to a pharmacy benefit manager to maybe to a PSAO to a pharmacy. There's all these pieces in there. And it's one of the – I was talking to somebody at Blue Cross recently who said that almost a third – and think about this – a third of the money that they spend in patient care. And think of all the patient care from emergency room visits to, you know, hospitalizations to, you know, surgeries to everything they do. A third of the money they spend is on drugs. And that's the fastest growing, you know, sector of the, you know, healthcare problem. And I think that we have a solution of, you know, creating transparency and start to affect lower drug prices. And that's in this PBM bill. And so for those listening, the pharmacy benefit manager, or PBM, is basically this middleman that's hired by a health plan to administer the drugs that they offer to, you know, to their enrollees. And so these PBMs are negotiating contracts to purchase drugs from manufacturers, and they're negotiating what they'll pay pharmacies. And so they're this whole middleman, and they're for the most part operating unregulated. And so nobody knows really what's happening in the middle there. And you know, one of the problems that we have is a drug manufacturer to make money, they need to sell their drugs. And so they have to end up on the formulary with these PBMs. And the formulary is basically the list of drugs that that PBM makes available, you know, to the enrollees in a health plan. So what do they do to make sure they get their drugs listed on these formularies is they've got this complicated system of rebates. So they'll sell a drug at one price, and then they'll have these rebates and these fees and all this other money that goes back that, in our opinion, obscures the actual cost of the drug. So what we're trying to do in this bill is shine a light on that. And what we're expecting, worst case scenario, is we're going to understand where all these pieces are, where all this money is. You know, best case scenario is the plans are going to be able to look into that practice and how much money is in that middle layer so that they can negotiate better contracts. If you know that that PBM is making a whole bunch of money, then that gives you, you know, the tools you need to negotiate, you know, better contracts for lower priced drugs that should drive costs down in health insurance premiums, and that's our goal.
And it's one of those cases where, you know, we always talk about transparency in pricing when it comes to healthcare. And of course, I think that does make a difference. But in this circumstance, it can make a real significant difference, can it?
Oh, I believe it will. And, you know, here's the thing that I just want to throw out there is this was in a different form. This was attempted last session. But last session with my predecessor, Commissioner Rosendale, you know, they went after the health plans because there was this, you know, thought that there was a federal preemption in regulating PBMs directly. But in December, there was a Supreme Court finding that this was not preempted, and it basically opened the floodgates for us to be able to regulate the PBMs directly. So we are so this legislation does that, and we believe that it's going to be an effective tool for understanding that, you know, that very complicated system of rebates and fees and all this remuneration that is used to, you know, in our opinion, obscure the actual cost and where this money is going between the manufacturer and the pharmacy. And so, you know, that's what we're hoping to gain here.
Now there,
and go ahead.
There's probably some good things that PBMs do, and I know that they'll come to their defense in terms of they will help actually lower prescription drug costs because they're the only check that against manufacturers as well, you know, to the open market. They're going to talk about inventory and providing real-time access to medications.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, you know, and the problem is in so many things, nothing's ever simple. And yes, there are things that PBMs do that are good. Like they can negotiate with the manufacturer because of the, you know, they're bulk buyers. Mm-hmm. And as we all know, if you're a bulk buyer, you can, you know, usually negotiate better prices. So they do have that side. But there's other parts that are less obvious to this. You know, and you'll hear pharmacies, you know, complaining that they'll sometimes get reimbursed less than the cost that they paid for a drug by these PBMs. Mm. And, you know, this is kind of a double-edged sword. First of all, understanding, you know, on the pharmacy side, you know, what kind of rebates they may or may not be getting. But the other part is you don't want to disincentivize them for trying to find lower prices. If you have in statute a requirement to reimburse them whatever they paid for it, you know, they may be paying the most expensive possible price, and there's nothing you can do about it. So understanding that it's a complicated system, and that we really need to shine the light on, understand where this money is going, because there's pros and cons of every part of that supply chain. We just want to understand, like I said, where that money's going and make sure that we have, reasonable regulation on that to make sure that nobody is, taking advantage. And, I really believe that just transparency will create the market forces that we need to start driving these prices lower.
I think it'll help. SB 395 is what we're talking about. We're talking with Troy Downing, Commissioner of Securities and Insurance from Montana, also Montana's state auditor and a combat veteran as well with service in Afghanistan. Thank you for your service there, Troy.
Thank you.
Do appreciate that. I know you're also a member of the land board. We've got other things to talk about on the plate that comes out of the office there, and I do want to get to those too, but I want to continue on here with this. As you said, the hearing was yesterday. I want to understand how perhaps legislators received it, the bill being carried by Senator Greg Hertz. He's from the Polson area. Go ahead.
So, here's something that I do want to put out there is, there was some industry opposition, but with very few exceptions, they were all soft opposition because most of them just wanted some, minor changes like, the Montana State Fund just wanted some clarity. It didn't substantially change the bill. The bill talks about enrollees and in workers' compensation, you don't have enrollees, you have injured workers. So there was some soft opposition to get clarity in there. But here's the thing that I do want to mention, and I'm not going to take full credit for this because it really is because of the quality and intelligence and work ethic of my team. Is so many of them, even in opposition, took time in their testimony to talk about the process and how appreciative they were that our office brought in all the stakeholders. We brought in the pharmacies. We brought in the PBMs. We brought in the health plans. We brought in everybody that is affected by this legislation and allowed them to have a seat at the table. And, our position has always been, we'll listen and consider, make sure that we're not missing any, unintended consequences. Ultimately, it's our decision on the policy decisions here. But everybody was very appreciative of the work that we put into this before it made it to the legislature. And I think that Senator Hertz was very appreciative of that. We've worked with the governor's office. So here we have a bill that, had mostly, a lot of proponents. The opponents were soft opponents, and we've got the governor's office on board with us. We've got leadership on board with us, obviously the auditor's office. And I think this is strong policy that is going to be meaningful for Montanans, and I'm proud of the team and proud of being part of that.
And I apologize. I've not read the bill. I should have looked at it. But, in about a minute's time here, what is the mechanism that opens up the transparency? Is it more regulation? Is it less regulation? Is it reporting? What's the mechanism that creates the transparency?
Yeah, well, what it is they are the we're trying to avoid any kind of a shell game here, because one of our concerns is that if you just say you need to disclose rebates, you may rename a rebate in something else and say that you can't disclose it. So here's the main part of this is it's a licensure bill. So PBMs operating in the state of Montana have to, have to obtain a license from this office. And then the second part of that is in that drug supply chain, in that they need to report the actual cost of the drugs, and they have to report any monies that they receive from wholesalers or manufacturers or GPOs. They have to report every one of those dollars, no matter what they call it. So it makes it, difficult to obscure whether these are rebates or not. And like I said, what that does, they have to report that to the plans. It allows the plans to understand, where that money is. And obviously, if a PBM is buying an aspirin for a dime and selling it for $10, and there's that all that money in between, that gives that plan the opportunity to say, hey, that's egregious, that's not reasonable, we want to renegotiate our contract.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that too. We've got more to talk about here. You guys got a full legislative agenda and some priorities listed, so we'll get to that when we come on back here with more from Montana for Montana. It's Troy Downing, Commissioner of Securities and Insurance, here today on Voices of Montana. All right, welcome back. Appreciate that. Midweek here, and we are talking with Troy Downing, Commissioner of Securities and Insurance. He's also Montana's state auditor, talking an awful lot here about that legislative agenda. The hat he's wearing more often than not in this conversation is Commissioner of Securities and Insurance. And Troy, again, I appreciate your time here. There's
happy to be here.
Yeah. That was Senate Bill 395, the PBMs or the Prime Benefit Management Bill. There's a couple of other things I think, as I'm looking at your, let me point folks to it too. You list your legislative agenda. That's real helpful. You're tracking bills that you are supporting. I presume most of them you're supporting. Some of them you may be in opposition against. CSIMT.gov, CSIMT.gov, and you'll find it on that front page. What else raises to the top of your plate that you want the public to know about the legislative action on bills that are important to them from a consumer standpoint?
Well, okay, there's been a couple of things, and we touched on this briefly, but I just want to, bring up the telehealth bill again, because that we started that one, the day after I was sworn into office, and there were about five competing bills out there, and we just got all the stakeholders together and started duking that out and figuring out what they needed, what they wanted, and we spent weeks distilling that into some strong policy. Mm. And one thing I'm proud about that is it has made it through the House and the Senate without a single no vote. Nobody has ever voted no on that. And that just tells you it's got broad bipartisan support because it's good policy. So we're happy with that one. Another one that was introduced, I think a couple of weeks ago, is Montana is the only state that doesn't allow gender to be used when rating insurance policies. Mm. And it hurts Montanans. And so let's just give you a simple example. Yeah. Is, women statistically live longer than men. And so they should pay lower life insurance premiums. And in Montana, we weren't able to do that. And so it hurt consumers on one level. As I was campaigning and driving around, I would always, in downtime, I'd walk into independent agents and ask them what was going on, and that always bubbled up as the biggest issue that they had. And the reason is when people would move to Montana from somewhere else and try to write their insurance here, they would get sticker shock, and then they would just, not write Montana insurance. They would write their insurance in the state they came from. So our Main Street agents were losing business because of that. So what we did is we, crafted a bill to change that so we can use actual data, appropriately rate and appropriately price. And so think about this: as a consumer protection agency, we're protecting the consumer with that and, allowing them to have appropriately rated, policies that is, for, like I said, for women in Montana is going to drive those down. The second thing is we're helping Main Street because all these independent agents were losing business. And the third thing is there were companies that wouldn't write business in Montana because we were different. And so that stifled competition, which gives consumer choices and drives prices down. So I'm pretty proud of that one. I think it's going to be very meaningful. So those are kind of some of our priorities there. But here's one other thing that I want to talk about. Is this is often misunderstood or swept under the rug, but this is my office. I sit on the Board of Land Commissioners. And that was constitutionally created to manage state trust lands to fund public education. And I campaigned on this, and I take it very seriously. And I think everybody's still kind of looking like, deer looking into the headlights right now because, we hit the ground running on that as well. And there were some times where I was sitting in land board meetings, and we were having to approve or disapprove some land sales into the land banking program. And what that means is you sell, these were mostly cabin leases, you sell the cabin lease, but the proceeds have to be used to buy replacement land. And I looked at some of these, and I was asked to sell some cabin lease sites with proceeds of $700,000, but to replace the income that they were producing right now, it would have cost us almost $1.2 million to replace it. And I'm going, well, why are we doing this? And so I've got some legislation coming out. Senator Cuff from Eureka is carrying it for us today in I can't remember the committee. But, yeah, Senator Cuff is carrying it for us today. This just popped up last night, so forgive me for not remembering which committee it's in front of. But will give us the power of when something comes to the land board, if we If we see that the replacement income is going to be less than the in-place income, we can kill the sale, which I think is the right thing to do. You know, we're fiduciaries to the state of Montana, and we need to make sure that that we're taking that seriously. So that's going to be up today. And, natural resources. It's in Senate Natural Resources today at 3. But, you know, we're just trying to, you know, solve problems. And I think that what we've done in our, you know, legislative agenda has been very pro-consumer. And in this case, I think this is, you know, fundamental in allowing us to do what we're, you know, what our constitutional fiduciary duty is to the state of Montana. And so I'm very proud to, you know, have this one coming up today.
I'm going to look at that land bill a little bit more, too, because I know that it does deal with authority and power. And so you're always going to have some kind of give and take in that and maybe some opposition. And I've talked to Mike about that, but not on the air. So we'll look at that down the road and want to get your thoughts on it. We got just a couple of minutes here, and I'm not sure that it's in front of you. I've been looking to try to talk to somebody here in Montana who can explain to me cryptocurrency. Maybe it's you, but I know that as the Commissioner of Securities and Insurance, it's something that does come across your desk from time to time.
Yeah, it does. And, you know, there's a couple of different ways of owning cryptocurrency, you know, directly owning the, like, you know, Bitcoin is the most probably largest, best known of the cryptocurrencies out there. But you can also, and here's where it falls under the purview of my office, is there are funds that invest in cryptocurrency, and that's a security. And so that's something that falls under our office. And, you know, basically what it is it's a digital currency that's not really regulated. And so it's something, you know, the proponents of it, you know, like that it's not regulated. You don't have a central bank, you know, regulating what this is. And then the opponents, you know, say the problem is that it's not regulated. So you've got those two differing issues right there. And all we would do is urge caution if you decide to, you know, go into that. So Bitcoin, which was, like I said, probably the pioneer in this idea, it basically just gives value to, you know, they call it mining, but they use these server farms to just keep, you know, grinding through these algorithms that, you know, they give value to. And then once that coin is minted is what they'll call it. And it's just basically, it's a big digital number. Then they give it a value and you can trade that for goods or services. So the interesting thing about that is these Bitcoins that started out in, you know, I think they're, you know, about $100 a few years ago, are now worth north of $50,000 each. But again, you know, that's the market driving that. And what we would say, if you decide to, you know, invest in or put, you know, any of your holdings into a cryptocurrency, is that you do a lot of research and understand exactly what you're doing and, you know, use professional, you know, advice on what to do there, because there are scammers out there. And the one thing that you do lose having cryptocurrency, let's say you buy a Bitcoin and it's worth, you know, 50 something thousand dollars, you're given a code to unlock it and use it. And in a bank, if you lose your PIN, you can always go to the bank and get your PIN back. But with Bitcoin, if you lose that code, that money's gone forever. It you can never find it again, and nobody else can recreate it. So it's just gone. So it's just important that people understand exactly what they're doing before they, you know, venture into that.
Yeah, this is where it kind of got kicked off, because somebody had told me of a case where a gentleman had millions of dollars invested in crypto coin and couldn't retrieve his code. I think he said, like, this was a story that I was told, that you had 10 opportunities to do that, to get the password out of there, and after that it's lost forever.
I've got a better one for you. There was a guy, a story that came out a couple of weeks ago, where he kept his code to unlock his Bitcoin on a hard drive of a computer, and he, you know, bought, I can't remember the number of coins, but, you know, put a couple of $100 in it, you know, 10 years ago. And threw the computer away and forgot about it. And so now he is looking at the value of those Bitcoin, which is worth, you know, millions of dollars to him. and it's in the bottom of a landfill somewhere. And so he's trying to get the municipality to allow him to go dredge the landfill to find his old computer so he can, you know, resurrect that hard drive and get that code and hopefully find that money.
Hey, good story, Troy. I appreciate that very much. Thanks a lot. Appreciate the conversation, and we will chat with you down the road, okay?
Yeah, perfect. And, you know, securities and insurance, if you have questions, just reach out to us, csimt.gov, and we're here to help.
All right.
You've been listening to Voices of Montana. Comments and opinions heard are those of the host or callers, and not necessarily those of this station, sponsors, or Northern News Network. Join us Monday through Friday at 9:06 for Voices of Montana.